As the public-private partnership responsible for building Section 5 of I-69 falters, some local residents are saying, "I told you so." Correspondent Lindsay Jones has more on that story in today's WFHB Community Report.
The Indiana Finance Authority said in a statement last Monday that the state now plans to assume control of the project, although it has yet to officially declare the I-69 development partners in default. Craig Johnson, an associate professor with Indiana University's School of Public Environmental Affairs, told the Herald Times, quote, "It's only a matter of time," end quote, before the group defaults. The state created the public-private partnership between the Finance Authority and the I-69 development partners to fund the 21-mile stretch of interstate between Bloomington and Martinsville. But in April, financial problems with Isolux Corson, the construction company hired to complete the project, led the state to consider other funding options as it became clear that the company would not be able to fulfill its $29 million commitment to the project. City Council Vice President Andy Ruff says the funding issue comes as less than a surprise to I-69's critics.
This was all completely predicted by, for 20 years, this outcome has been predicted by I-69 opponents and I-69 skeptics. Elected officials and citizen activists from, for example, Citizens for Appropriate Rural Roads, from the Hoosier Environmental Council, and certain by elected officials like myself, any of dozens and dozens of public meetings, public NDOT hearings, MPO meetings, and more, you will find I-69 skeptics saying exactly this, that the funding is not there and has never been demonstrated to be there to build this, the most expensive transportation project in the state of Indiana, in the history of the state of Indiana.
Ruff takes issue with the way I-69 was funded. He explains that according to federal code, the Federal Highway Administration is only supposed to give federal funding to projects that are fiscally constrained, projects that already have committed funding, or a reasonable expectation of funding through an already identified revenue stream. Ruff was only one of many concerned community members. Tom Tokarski and his wife Sandra have been fighting the project for more than 20 years, anticipating funding issues, environmental consequences, and the loss of private property that would happen as the state claimed the private land it needed to make I-69 a reality. In 1990, they started an official anti-I-69 effort called Citizens for Appropriate Rural Roads. They attended NDOT meetings where they voiced their concerns, gathered more than 100,000 signatures for a petition, and even filed a lawsuit against the project.
It was clear. It was clear looking at their budget. They totally underestimated the cost of the project. And states do that all the time. It's not unusual. You lowball the cost of the project, and then when the funding becomes an issue, you say, "Oh, well, we've got to start it now. We've got to give us more money so we can finish it." Well, we saw that coming, and they weren't supposed to do that. By federal regulation, they were not allowed to do that. They did it anyway, and now we have the mess we're in.
But last year, Tom says the options had seemingly run out, and hopes of improving or discontinuing I-69's development were gone. The lawsuit they'd filed had been ruled against, and the U.S. Supreme Court would not hear the case like the Tokarskis had hoped. On December 31st of last year, Citizens for Appropriate Rural Roads officially dissolved. To add to the list of grievances many have against I-69's construction and management, IU SPIA professor Craig Johnson told the Herald Times he thinks it's likely the taxpayers will end up covering the costs of Section 5. At any rate, Justin Grainer, director of public policy at the Southwest Indiana Chamber, says that state law ensures the interstate will be completed no matter what.
Well, in House Bill 1002, the state, I believe it's in 1002, the state put together language that would allow them to take over a failed P3 project. So it's going to get completed one way or the other.
Ruff said he thinks it's likely that tax money will be siphoned from other parts of the state's budget in order to make up for Section 5's funding deficiencies.
General revenue funds, I guarantee you, are going to end up being called upon and being sucked off of other needs in the state from education and everywhere else to pay for this ridiculous, unnecessary, destructive project.
For people like Tokarski, knowing the road will be completed no matter what does little to restore his faith in the state and its motives. When the Tokarskis heard that the taxpayers may pick up the tab, they felt more exasperated.
We threw up our hands and said, "We told you." I know it doesn't help to say "I told you so." Doesn't really help anything, but we just threw our hands up in exasperation saying, "We told them that this wasn't going to work." And they said, "No, you're just a biased little environmental group. You don't know what you're talking about. Our big experts, our financial gurus told us we can do this, and we think that's true. And so they had their people, and we told them, no, you're wrong. And they said, no, we're not. And it turns out they were wrong, and we were right.
Greinert suggests another perspective regarding I-69's construction. He admits the project has not been without hiccups and says he understands why people have gotten angry regarding the complications. But ultimately, he says he thinks the long-term economic benefits of the project are guaranteed to outweigh the various costs the project has already accrued, financial and otherwise.
I recognize there have been short-term issues with, you know, Section 5, and that's left a lot of people rightly upset about it, but it's a very short-sighted view. This project is not only of local significance, but of national significance. And you're talking about economic development. This is the next great corridor running goods and services from north to south. And Southwest Indiana sits in the middle of it. There is no question that when we complete I-69 to Indianapolis and build the bridge over the Ohio River, it will be a boon for the entire community. And a lot like other projects that happen, you know, people that are upset in the short term suddenly realize the value of the long term once it gets done. And sure, in the meantime, there have been headaches we fully recognize, but at the end of the day, this will be a massive win for Indiana and our region as a whole.
Local transportation officials have expressed concern and frustration about the delays in the construction of Section 5, which is now 2 years behind schedule. Some say the construction is making the area unsafe for drivers. As recently as last month, there have been fatal accidents in the construction zone. Construction of Section 5 is expected to be complete by August of 2018.